The Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Questions without notice.
Oh, a very busy news day today, or news day yesterday, which is followed up today. Your calls now, 1300 736 736. We'll throw a few questions without notice. We'll keep you up to speed with what's happening. Any developments anywhere right now? Nothing to be heard or seen. Ben Rutten has turned up. I'm looking at it right now on the old news. He's turned up for coaching as per usual, and we'll see how that plays out today. Whispers.
Yes, good on him. Now, we haven't touched on this. It's an issue that occurred on Sunday at the SCG, the booing of Ginnivan. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Is there a group of fans who should be more sensitive to booing than the Sydney Swans fans? Is there a group of fans out there that should be more sensitive than they?
Yes, I understand where you're coming from with the whole Indigenous issues surrounding...
Well, their own player, Adam Goods, got booed week after week after week, and you know, they're up in arms about that. But then they feel the need to boo a 19-year-old kid out there who... His crime is that he's ducked a few times when he's been tackled. That's his crime.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game, isn't it? It's your attitude.
It's ridiculous.
It's your attitudes to booing. Can you have good-natured booing?
Yeah, you can.
I'm not talking about Adam Goods, by the way. Good-natured booing or bad. You know, Patrick Cripps got booed by Melbourne supporters, which was funny, I thought. He had nothing. All he did was try and play footy and got off. So the Melbourne – and by the way – Melbourne fans didn't have their heart in it. It was just
a half-hearted boo.
As opposed to a boo.
They got halfway into the boo and then they decided, hang on a minute, why are we booing?
I did find it strange, and this is not a crack at Channel Whisp, but...
This will be.
No, it's not. Alistair Nicholson, who was the
commentator on Sunday with BT,
so they cut to a shot of Ginnivan on the bench, and that shot must have gone up on the screen. Right, I imagine. Mm. I think this is what happened. So, the booing started. So then Alistair said the same thing you and I said. Ah, this is just, then they cut away to whatever, another shot. This is not good enough. And how can you be booing a 19-year-old kid, So they went back to another shot of him. And started booing him again.
Jack Silvani, I thought he played an outstanding game again at the weekend. I don't even know how many touches. It's not so much that you can evaluate his game based on disposals or anything like that. It's what he does around the ball and his second and third efforts and that type of thing as a backup ruckman.
Yep.
They erred in dropping him a couple of weeks ago. I understand what they were trying to do. They were experimenting with playing the two ruckman, right? They won't do that again, though, will they? Like, he's pretty much assured of a spot now in their team, is he not, Jack?
I would not leave Jack Silvani out of that side in terms of what he brings and his effort and his ability to make a few things happen, then I wouldn't do that for sure. But they play Collingwood on the weekend. Not that you're a Collingwood supporter. Are you concerned? We had some figures last night about the fact that the last four games or five games that Collingwood have played, the opposition ruckman has been the number one or two rated ruckman player on the ground.
Yeah.
And the clearance stuff's really turned against him. Are you a little concerned about the Cameron Cox combination if you're a Collingwood fan?
Yeah, I think you have to be based on those statistics that you supplied last night.
Does that make you rethink your Grundy attitude?
Not necessarily, because I think it's a needs basis, the whole Grundy thing. And that is they're trying to free up some salary cap space so that they can actually add to their list and improve their list. So I think it's a different equation. They remind me a little bit, Collingwood, of, I know I'm going back a long way, but Essendon back in 1981, we won 16 games in a row at the back end of a season. Jeez. And then lost our last home and away game and then lost our final. We only finished fifth back in that.
Do you think they're going to get bundled?
Well, I think, sometimes when the balloon gets pricked, like it doesn't, and I think you touched on this last night on your little show again, it was a very good show last night, was that, sometimes it leads to one loss becomes two, becomes three, becomes four. Like, we've seen that throughout the course of the season with teams.
It happened in Melbourne this year.
Yeah, really? It did. So I'll be very interested to see how they front up again at the weekend, Collingwood.
Yeah, I think it'll be fascinating as well, given that we know what Carlton are getting. This is last chance saloon for the Blues, so it's just...
They went all out on Saturday. They could not, those players that played for Carlton on Saturday night could not have given more.
So?
They made mistakes, but they couldn't, in terms of effort, they could not have given more.
Can they get themselves back up?
That's the point. Can they get themselves back up?
Do you think they can?
I think they can. I think because the prize is there looking at them in the eye. So there's a big reason for them to play. It's less for Collingwood because Collingwood will still be there in the finals.
Who's the first player they tag, Carlton?
Carlton, the first player, like, is Nick Daicos.
100%. He is that good. He is the first you go to.
Yeah, Essendon did. I think Essendon might have been the first to tag him, actually, although they may have tagged him. It might have been the week before Adelaide tagged him. But anyway, Essendon tagged him with a couple of players when they played against him. They reduced his effectiveness. If you look at his stats since I think he played – no, it was against Adelaide. He had like a 40-disposal game, and they've been on the slope since then because he has attracted more interest in opposition teams than what he had previously.
Jed's in Donvale, so let's whip through your calls. You've rung up. It's questions without notice time, so away you go, Jed.
G'day, mate. Just wondering about what you boys think about Richmond's chances at the premiership this year. We've got lots of players that you just feel can do massive damage in finals. Obviously, Dusty's coming back. I'm not too sure. I'm a massive Richmond fan, but I don't know if they can do it. But my old man thinks we can win the whole thing. So just wondering what you boys think.
Yes, they could.
Without a double chance?
Yeah, it would take something pretty special. And we suspect that what they're doing now is going to hold them in really good stead for years to come. And if they were to win this year, it would be some sort of a performance. But they're scoring last 6 weeks, number four in the comp for scoring, number two in the comp for scores every time they go inside, number three in the comp for points from turnover and changing score. So that is their point of difference. Offensively, they just look so good. Cumberland, Lynch, Morris, Dustin, if he gets back, Shea. I mean,
they play a brand of footy that stacks up in the helter-skelter finals too.
And they just get it in and then away they go.
They don't try and play the perfect brand of footy. They're happy to kick it in there and fight and scrap, and they apply great pressure.
Question will be defensively whether they can hold up without Grimes, and given that they're not a great clearance side, so the opposition sides get a look. Mm. And in the past, they've handled it really well with Grimes and Vlosten and everyone else, but no Grimes. Maybe it'll be a little test for them.
That's a good point you make. Jordan, it's just a little joke between Gary and I. Don't take it so seriously. Mark's in Greenvale. Good morning, Mark.
I take it seriously.
Good morning, guys. It's funny you were just talking about Richmond because I want to talk about the game that I think will lead into the Richmond game. Who do you think wins between Brisbane and Melbourne? Because I think that the loser of that game might actually lose the following week to Richmond and actually go out of the final. I think it's absolutely massive. And I can't decide because neither side has great form.
Melbourne have had the wood on the pie and the Lions recently, Mark. That is what we can say. I think it's maybe the last five. I could stand corrected. But so they've had a good record against Brisbane in recent times. I think up there is a whole different proposition, though. I think Brisbane play much better at the Gabba. So you're right. Whoever loses could potentially play Richmond in the first final, cutthroat final.
So they're a powerful team, Brisbane, aren't they, in terms of their goal-kicking potential?
A bit like Richmond.
And their scoring power and how quickly they can
number
score.
Number one scoring team in the comp.
Yeah. I think you showed some vision last night on your little show about the ball movement and how you can get them sort of, if you can spread the field a bit and whether or not they've got the capacity to run with some of the better running teams in the competition.
Midfield specifically.
Yeah.
So the Demons midfield, I think, are as harder working as, we talk about how good they are, but they work so hard. And just whether Lachie Neal does, whether the rest of the six or seven that go through, Rayner, Bailey are part-time midfielders. They don't run as hard as the other Melbourne group. So that is one area that they'd need to sort of address on the week on Friday night.
Albie's in Williamstown. Good morning, Albie.
Yeah, good morning, Gary. Tim, thank you for taking my call. Love your show. And I love you guys as players also. My question is, it's very obvious to me, and I suppose a lot of people, that Collingwood need a full forward. I don't quite understand why all these years we just haven't gone for a full forward. Very obvious on Sunday. I don't know whether McStay would be a good person in that position, but I was just wondering your opinion on Nick Larkey, maybe. Just maybe if he's available.
He ain't going anywhere, Albie. They'll be building around Nick Larkey. I don't know. You won 11 on the bounce, and all we did in those 11 wins was talk about Ash Johnson, Brodie Meyercheck, Jamie Elliott. So
The more the focus goes on a player, though, when you watch them sort of week in, week out, and you're watching Ash Johnson now, like he needs to strengthen up his game.
He's a kid.
He's still a kid. He's still an inexperienced kid. So you can't rely on him to do much more than what he currently does, which is he's he sweeps in, he sweeps out, he does his little bit here and there.
Yeah, like he'll have a 10-minute patch where he kicks three goals, and then you mightn't see him for
Yeah. That's he's not strong enough around the ball and, you know, the second, third efforts, that type of thing. But he just doesn't have the experience, and he's probably come on a little bit quicker than what Collingwood thought he was going to.
24 years of age, but
yeah, I know, he hasn't played a lot yet.
In a footy sense. Thanks for your call, Albie. Darren's in Sorrento. Good morning, Dazzler.
Good morning, boys. I'm not sure if you spoke about this earlier, but the reaction of Nick, pretty classified to Nick Hynd on the bench thing. I've been watching, I've noticed strange things on the bench for weeks. I've been saying to my mates, there's something going on between the players and the coach. They don't react to him or sit near him. And then I saw the pretty classified thing, and I thought, wow, that sort of makes it true. Have you guys seen that when you've been playing football?
Let's talk about this, because Tim and I got a similar. When the coach sits down there, you can read whatever you want into
all sorts of things.
And the vision didn't look great. It looked like, you know, he came off and didn't want to sit next to Ben Rutten and then didn't want to look at him, right? So that, and then because of where Essendon are at, you go, oh, what a damning. If Essendon were third and he did that, you'd go, he won't play next week. Mm. Because as a player, this is what happens, Darren, I can tell you. Some players just sook it up, right? Some players will make a mistake on the field, get dragged or come to the bench. And for whatever reason, they'll have the brace and bits, and they won't want to look at a coach, and they won't want to, you know, because they've got this, I've done it, we've all done it. You just, you know, you're in a headspace where you go, don't talk to me now. And yeah, it might be disrespectful, but good, strong coach would deal with it, would go, and because that wasn't on the weekend, was it?
No.
He would sit him down, and if it was a real problem, and I don't know if Ben Rutten's this sort of coach, might be this is the issue, you go, don't you ever, if in fact you had a problem with it, don't you ever do that again. And if you go back to the VFL and pull your head in, and if it is a respect issue, then you think about that. And when you come back and I talk to you as a senior coach, then you look at me and you understand what I'm – well, that's the messaging.
And we don't know that didn't take place.
No, I don't. So we're looking from afar. So I didn't have as big an issue with it. Yeah, it looked bad, but, you know, that's what happens sometimes. Some players – and I'm not saying he was sooking it up, but sometimes players do.
Thanks for your call, Darren. Jason's in Bendigo. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, gents. Just a couple of things I'll make quickly. The reason numbers are down, pathetically, we couldn't park at the G unless we were disabled or a bench staff. To try and find a park that wasn't now around Melbourne, around Richmond, was an absolute farce.
Is this the weekend you're talking about, Jason?
Yeah, yesterday, mate. Richmond and Hawthorn game.
There were 60,000 people there.
Yeah. Now, the 60,000 parks gone, too, around Melbourne. I can give you the tip. It was pretty well, okay, yes, but numbers have been down. I don't understand why they can open up for disabled cars and event staff cars, but not members of the public cars. It doesn't really gel with me. But anyway, be that as it may, I sat up on the fourth level right behind the goals and watched the structure of the Hawthorn side, which I've done for probably 35 years now. I think Sam Mitchell's out of his depth. I think he's got no structure with the players because they were. To put Scrimshaw, who's played, back pocket most of the year, suddenly down at centre-half forward and expect him to be able to run the patterns that the centre-half forward in the professional leagues does, it's just a joke. And in fact, I think he was actually running towards their backman as a tagger at one point. The field was scratching our heads. I found strangers in the stand were actually disillusioned by what we were seeing. And I for one, I'm not buoyed about the future of Hawthorn. They play an unsustainable brand of football, which requires a great deal of fitness, running in waves, and extreme accuracy by foot. We don't have that. It's really, things aren't looking good for Hawthorn, and people are saying how great they are and how great Sam Mitchell is. Look, guys, all three of us could have walked into the midfield in West Coast and got him a grand final. Mitchell hasn't proven anything. He's proven he's got a game plan against teams that are playing poorly. When they're up and about most other teams, they've done us over. I'm absolutely astounded. I'm a bit disillusioned about the whole process, to be honest with you. Thanks for listening to my whinge.
Good. That's what we're here
for. No, explain yourself really well. There was a lot of experimenting going on at the weekend with Hawthorn, though, too, wasn't there?
And I like
the way they played Sicily.
I disagree with that. Sam Mitchell knows what he's doing. You know, you're talking to enough people in footy. I would suspect on the weekend that he's still trying to find out about his group, the way they played James Sicily, for instance. Yes, they played Scrimshaw differently. I think Sam Mitchell has coached them aggressively this year to find out what he's got at his disposal, what they're capable of. I don't reckon defence was... I mean, had it been cutthroat playing for Sheep Stations, then Sicily probably plays on Lynch from the opening bounce, but I don't think that was the case on the weekend. Yeah. So Jason's probably right. He's getting a look at some different... you know, patterns and different formations, but I think Sam Mitchell knew what he was doing on the weekend. Oh, we better take a break. Oh, got lots of calls still.
Difficult 24 hours, but how unsettling has it been for you?
Look, it's been okay. Look, it's not ideal, obviously, but it is what it is.
Are you confident you've still got the playing group, Ben?
Yeah, I've got the confidence of the players. We've got a job to do, and I'm going to coach them the best I can the next 5 days.
So there you go. That's Ben Rutten, who...
Well, good on him.
You don't envy him in the situation he's in right now, but he's fronted up. He's taken a few questions from the journos on the walk-in, and that was pretty early this morning. He said he's going to coach him as hard as he can over the next 5 days. So, we will wait and see. It is a changing landscape in terms of what's going on at the Essendon Football Club, but he still remains the coach at the moment until such time as we hear different.
There's a lot of orneriness around this morning, isn't it?
Everywhere, these ornery buggers.
Hey, we didn't say, whoever that person is who barracks for Collingwood, we did not say that Nick Dacos can't play. We just say that he's been tagged. We've been wondering which team was going to put some time and effort into him, and teams have been doing that of recent times, and you need to because he's such a super young player.
Steve from McLeod, you hear what you want to hear sometimes. What we were essentially saying is, who would you tag first? We'd tag Nick Dacos because he's nearly your best player.
Yep.
That's what we're saying. So
listen.
And he can almost destroy you off half back. So, you know, if you hold him to 20, even though he might be going okay at 20, he was getting 29 and 35 and nearly 40 not that long ago. Hey,
Sorry, from Di, who thinks I've got no empathy for Jack Ginnivan. No, I have, Di. You must have...
Misread what you were saying.
But I was not comparing it to the Indigenous booing or the nature and issues around Adam Goods at the time. And, of course, it would be hard for a young man who's sitting there and he's already spoken out publicly about it. So... and I've got great empathy. When a young man comes forward and says, you know, from a mental health point of view, it's been challenging, then, of course, I've got great empathy for it. So if you misunderstood, I don't apologise. You have misunderstood me.
You know this bloke better than anybody. Shane Crawford. Has he got the potential to be our next Hugh Jackman, song and dance man? Yes.
Yes.
Could he be that good?
That's what I'm talking about!
He is a great entertainer, Shane Crawford.
And can he sing?
I didn't know that to be the fact, but I don't know if you read the article yesterday.
I saw the headline.
Yeah, no, I read it. So he fronted up.
Auditioned.
And genuinely auditioned. And he said any of these sort of roles or things that he's done in the past, he's got because he's been a footballer, basically, or a figure. He said in this instance, it was none of that. He got up, he had to sing, sang the song, laid it all out and said, "That's me." You know, he said, "I don't know whether I'm any good, but this is where I am, and I'll do the best I can. And if you put your faith in me, that," and they said, "Look, we will judge you on just on merit." And they said, "Yeah, we reckon you sounded pretty good. We reckon you can hold a tune, and we like who you are. So
you've got the role.
You've got the role of Pharaoh.
Good on him. Well done. Jamie's in Baxter.
We should go and watch. Will you come with me?
No, I'm not a big theatre man. Jamie's in Baxter. Good morning, Jamie.
G'day, Tim. How are you? Yeah, big fan of yours. But I just wanted to say before, someone mentioned that Essendon weren't a big club. With 85,000 members and with no success in the past 20 years, imagine if they did get some success, they would just climb astronomically. But secondly to that is we've got David Barham now taking over the presidency. Do you have faith in him that he will follow through with some of his statements from the member statement? Because... we kind of got the same thing from Paul Brasher when he gave us that members video, if you remember. And it filled us with hope, but in the end, it didn't really fulfil to anything.
Well, it remains to be seen, Jamie, after what they discussed yesterday, the fact that they want to have an external review. I don't know whether you heard Gary and I talking about this earlier. Now they're going after Al Clarkson. Where does that leave the external review? Because they're going to have to throw everything at him, and Matchwood already, North Melbourne's probably promised him, which may mean that he's going to bring his own people in, and obviously if he brings his people in, then other people go, and if they go before the external review, what does that mean about a review? So there are a lot of unanswered questions at this stage.
It's a good question that Jamie asks, though. So you've got a man who's leading your board, right, in charge of your football club, and then he steps down. How confident are we that David Barham has got the capabilities of stepping in and driving this, you know, people can argue whether they think it's not, big football club to where it needs to go? What experience has he got to do that?
Well, he's run a business before. He's a passionate Essendon person. He's saying to a lot of people, he's saying all the things that they've wanted to hear, and that is, don't have an internal review, have an external review. So he's speaking from the right hymn book at the moment. Now he's got to deliver.
Standing outside wearing my safety helmet, I want to get Fieldy to ring, or we're going to ring this number, with my safety helmet with Essendon stickers on it. Clarko just walked past and said, "Let's go, Bombers," with a wink. That's confirmation to me. Clarko's coaching. That says Couchy. He's in the CBD. Couchy, we think we know where Clarko is right now, and I'm not sure that that was Clarko that you've seen in the CBD. We might be wrong, but we'll ring you up perhaps and see.
Tongue might be in cheek too. Nick's in Reservoir. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. Breakfast show. Tim, Gary, thank you for the 22 proper season carrying us through with one more to go.
Thank you, Nick. Yes, Tim, the heavy lifting.
We're doing our level best, Nick.
Wish in part-time mode, but I'll do the heavy stuff.
Yeah, well, that's it. Gary supported and carried us all through hard times over the last couple of seasons. So I appreciate you and Kingy and Kane and Bucks as well. I just want to get on to the support the Essendon members on the Sunday. And it's very, I've heard the conversations being had in the media, and it wasn't thrown around and used a lot, but I heard it and it caught my ear, and I was like, it pricked my ears up. I want to protect our members, especially on Sunday, and the reaction that we had after the game or during the game is totally separate from the results from the internal review on the Saturday and the first thing that they did off that checklist off the internal review. So I just want to make sure that all the problems at Essendon Football Club, there was a problem on Sunday with the members at the ground watching from TV, on the radio, explaining to their children what happened to the Bombers, why they're not playing so well. But I just wanted the people being there on the Sunday, I provoked a bit of conversation, a bit of banter over the fence, because I can see that people wanted to get things off their chest because they've been protecting the coach, the players, the coach, the staff.
Yeah, a lot of frustration, Nick. There's been a lot of frustration around Essendon and their supporters, and people sometimes say things in the heat of the moment because they're frustrated and they're disappointed and they're upset with what they're seeing. So I think everybody sort of, to a point, excuses behaviours from time to time.
As long as it doesn't get personal.
That's right. Exactly. Yep. And you and I know all about that.
I just saw Clarko
read them each and every day.
On the peninsula, he looked at me, winked and said, "Let's go north."
There might be two of them.
Let's take a break.
The thing that stood out to me that I would love to have seen is when it was clear to everyone in the stadium that he was mentally struggling with the goal-kicking aspect of the game. Get over to him. Someone show some leadership. He was operating in a silo, completely isolated, and not one teammate got to him that I could see to say, "Hey, mate, just put a smile on your face. Go back. You're a bloody good kick. Go back and hammer it through." That was a missing link for me.
The Roosters were strong last night on the couch about Max King and the lack of support for him out there.
Will St Kilda go after Lloydo now and try and get him and Kingy together as his kicking coach or not? What do you know about that, if anything?
What would they have said they're open to it. People who could help. Brett Ratton, I think, was a bit defensive, which is understandable. He was backing his people in, but I think in the lighter day, they'd be open to it.
Jono Brown made a very good point last night talking about that. It makes a lot of good points. So do you. You probably had your sharpest show of the year last night. But Jono talked about, you know, those triggers when you're having a shot for goal.
Yes.
And those mental triggers that you go through.
Yes.
And it doesn't appear that he's got that yet.
No.
Yeah, because he lays back on some kicks and, you know, he goes to the side on other kicks. His approach is different.
Yep.
Like, he needs to have something that's a routine that he sticks to.
I shouldn't have mentioned that bloke who reckons he saw Clarko because we've just had 77 sightings.
A lot of sightings.
Of Alistair Clarkson. Andre's in Marimbula. G'day, Andre.
G'day, how you going? I'm just ringing out in relation to calling out the media, I suppose, on Channel 7. I was at the SDG, saw the Swannies game. We were sitting in the Churchill stand. Now, I get it about putting this kid's head on the screen. You know, he's sitting. I had him twice showing him on the screen, the big screen and on the television, obviously. And his mate, one of his teammates was there laughing with him about it, and he's smiling at the camera. If the media wants to create this sort of stuff, and hey, I've coached at a local level, I've been a Swans member 28 years, the Swans, half the crowd at the Swans game wouldn't even know who Ginnivan was, mate. They'd have no idea. They know he's a Collingwood player, and that's what the booing would have been, because the kid's face is on the screen like, who is he and get on with it, you know what I mean? They're so tame. The Swans members and most of the people who go to those games are so tame. I grew up in Melbourne, as Essendon's going to Essendon games and, you know, Collingwood games at Victoria Park. I mean, the Swans people are so tame. I had to adjust. Took me years to adjust to it.
Yeah. So Andre's suggesting that. Well, look,
Channel 7's fault.
You can take of it what you will. I had a bit of a giggle about that.
The fact
that the Channel 7 kept showing him. That's what I wasn't as I thought I was giggling at Jack. But anyway,
boys, off the temper text, just saw Clarko at some stoplights in his car. He had Essendon number plates with Clarko 23 on them, a Bombers scarf hanging out the window. True story, boys. Had the Bombers theme song blasting out the speakers in the car too.
I told you I shouldn't have mentioned it.
You started this.
Mick and Giandi and Darren will get to you after this. Breaking news. Not the one we may be expecting. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski. He's the ESPN guru.
Yeah.
Guru.
What's happened over there in the States?
Ben Simmons and the 76ers have reached a settlement agreement on the grievance the All-Star Guard filed to recoup a portion of the nearly $20 million that they withheld.
Right.
So it's a confidential agreement, but
he would have got some of the money back, clearly.
Absolutely.
Hey, just saw Clarko in Brussels. He just smiled at me and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
Just saw Clarko on his ride-on mower at Cape Shank wearing his short-sleeve North jumper, footy shorts, footy boots and North socks.
Oh, Johnny and Epping, I love that.
Just saw Clarko riding an elephant in Curzon Street. That would suggest that he might be heading somewhere. Keep
them coming.
They seem to have touched a nerve with our audience. We've had a couple of hundred Clarko sightings, which is great. Mick's in Kings Park. Good morning to you, Mick.
Gary Tim, I just saw Clarko in a hot air balloon, mate. Max King, I think the only issue I have with him, he missed those goals last week, but I think he's confusing himself. Like when he's running in for goal, rather than just hold the ball like Matty Lord used to do and know which point of the ball he's gonna hit when he's kicking for goal, he's just spinning the ball. And it's just putting that doubt in his mind to come in and go, am I going to get this? No, I think he's just talking himself out of it.
Maybe Mick, you might be right. Hey, Gary, this question for you about that. Did Tony Lockett have a set routine when he went back to kick for goal?
Yeah.
Absolutely set routine.
Oh, well, it looked like to me he knew exactly what he was doing every time and didn't look like it varied.
Have most of the great goal-kicking full forwards over the time like yourself, have they had a set routine?
Yes, I would think that there would be, if it's not to the absolute, I don't think everyone would go to the absolute, you know, same 14 steps or 13, maybe most do, but in terms of the key important triggers, yes, they would.
You be careful when you pat yourself on the chest like that because you've got that buckled rib. You don't want to be doing any more damage to it. Gandhi's joined us in Bundoora. Good morning, Gandhi.
How are you, fellas? How are we going?
Good, thanks.
Now, I've just got a question about Paul Brasher and Xavier Campbell. Oh, no, not so much Paul Brasher, but more Xavier Campbell. How can he, after such a poor 5 years for the Bombers, justify what's going on? I don't understand. I'm a Essendon supporter and I'm sick of what I've seen. I've had enough. I don't even want to renew my membership anymore. I just want to understand how someone like Xavier Campbell can sit in his job and continue.
We've gone
backwards.
Well, the board appointed him for another 2 years, Gandhi. I guess there's more than just the football. When you analyse the job of a CEO, I mean, a lot of it's about the commercial part of the club as football, at the football club as well, and the club are doing well in that area. So I guess they've arrived at the decision that he's done a great job in those areas, and it outweighs anything that's happened in the football department.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there are lots of components of a CEO's role, but Gandhi is right to question. He'd be, you know, looking back at the fact that part of the role is to be in charge of a footy department and oversee the appointments of the key personnel that haven't been able to get the job done. So,
but if the question is why have they overlooked him and why they reappointed him, that would be the reason why they reappointed him.
Yeah.
Because commercially, he's done a great job as a CEO.
True. Darren's in Greenvale. G'day, Dazzler.
Gary, Tim, good morning. Essendon fan, as you guys know. But obviously, I listened to Caro last night and she pretty much said her view on Clarko coming. With the, all this, you know, Kangaroos, it's agreed, and Essendon's jumping in to try hijack it. When do you think the footy fans would generally, you know, when an announcement will be made, when do you reckon something like that would generally happen?
Just on the point about it's been agreed, if it had been agreed, if Clarko had have agreed to North Melbourne, that deal would have been done by now. So clearly he needed more time to think about whether or not he was going to take the North Melbourne offer.
Yeah, and if he was nine, this is the problem, isn't it, if you're a Kangaroos fan, if he's 99% done, then he's not done. And the 1% now would have been, I think, by the very nature that they've approached him, then that would have been open. That's open to 2%. Yeah. And now by today, given that we suspect via his management, we know they haven't sat down with him, that he would have had a lot more detail put to him, that might have opened up 20% or 30%. And all of a sudden, it's not a done deal.
When are you in the best negotiating position?
When you've got more than one suitor.
Right.
And he's got, two at least. And we suspect, I keep hearing anyway that the Giants aren't. But he's got a big couple of days coming up. We know that. And we will wait and see what happens. So it's an interesting time.
That's interesting. Just saw Clarko taking off piling a red and black Spitfire. He got in wearing a bomber jacket and goggles. Now he's skywriting Go Bombers above Tullamarine.
Keep them coming through. In fact, keep them coming through Jared's show. He'll enjoy them. There's a picture of you and I up here in the studio.
Yes.
You're holding a premiership cup up
in
your playing gear with your medallion and I'm just running around.
Yep.
You didn't do many bicep curls, did you?
Why is that?
No, you're not. It's not great definition.
Well, you're unhappy with my defamation.
Did you do many?
Have a look at your own defamation.
You're just a natural power athlete, were you?
Have a look at your own defamation.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you.
Well, I'm talking about you now that you brought it up. Have a look at you.
Did you do many weights?
No. I looked at a weight, I'd put on muscle.
Did you?
Yeah, I had to stay away from the gym. I did a little bit of boxing with Nick Neofuto.
Were you in danger of getting too big?
Yeah, that was my problem.
Like Jamie Dury style.
Yes.
You told me that's all he talked about was himself and how he stripped down, how good he looked for the Men's Health magazine when you had lunch with him.
Yes, and I told you that in confidence too.
Jared Wakeley's back next.
Clearly, I'm in great condition.